So my very short version of my story is that I grew up in Abilene. I grew up in church all my life. I was in Abilene through college. And in my teenage years, I developed very quickly an unhealthy view of women, and even started an addiction to pornography that just went from there on, even through a marriage that was kind of a difficult marriage, mostly for my reasons. But I was not who I needed to be all during that marriage. Had three kids and all of that. But finally, in the mid-90s, I was just completely in a bad place, because even though I grew up in church, I really didn't know Jesus. I knew about him. I knew what condemnation meant. I felt guilt and shame all the time. Didn't know what to do with that. And the Lord came and was so kind to me at a men's retreat. And I really met my Heavenly Father in Jesus for the first time, and started a walk in a whole different path. Eventually, I was divorced in the late 90s. And from the last 20 plus years of my life has been a walk with the Father that has been absolutely amazing out of His kindness and grace to me. Was remarried to Donna in 2002. Could talk about her forever. I learned how God's capacity to be patient with us and lead us into His grace and His freedom, into a maturity with Him that is amazing if we are willing to believe and allow Him to do that. So it's been my joy to watch Him completely change me in so many ways. I'm very grateful, and here's what I know. I know that the greatest gift and treasure that I have is that I get to know the God of the universe, the Savior of the world, through Holy Spirit who lives in me, and He is always available to me every second of every day. And knowing that and having that real relationship is the most precious thing that I have.
Come on, somebody give God praise for that story right there. Is that not incredible? Is it not awesome to hear what Jesus does in the lives of people? The amazing transformation that happens. You heard Randy's story. My question, what's your story? If you are a follower of Jesus, it is an impossibility for you not to have a story. Therefore, Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This phrase, in Christ, means I have given my life to Jesus. As Randy said, not going to church, but when I became a follower of Jesus, I gave Him my rotten, broken life, and I received His life. When I'm in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has what? Old is what? Gone. Is anybody glad the old is gone? The new has come. Come on, this verse speaks of something incredible, something transformational, something that has made an eternal difference. If this is true of your life, it is impossible for you not to have a story. See, before Jesus, I was a kid, a 13-year-old punk middle schooler, and I was a punk, to tell you the truth, but I was a good kid. Teachers liked having me in the class. I worked hard. I was a pleaser. Wasn't rebellious. Wasn't a delinquent. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't sleep around. I didn't do any of the things that you're supposedly supposed to do to have a story. My parents loved each other and have now been married for 60 years. Now, a lot of that's because of Jesus, because even though we had good things, we were dysfunctional, but our dysfunction was common to everybody. So, you know, we just kind of call certain levels of dysfunction normal in our world, right? That was true of my family. I had been sexually abused by an older boy when I was a young guy, and I've been exposed to pornography at a very early age, even though Al Gore had yet to even dream of inventing the internet at that point. That was funny, by the way, just to let you know that. I was an addict waiting to be unleashed. But at the age of 13, I had done nothing. But don't miss the gravest of realities. I was as lost as anyone. as bound for hell as anyone apart from God and a child of wrath. But God in his grace gave me a gift. Right after the abuse happened, I was invited to go to church. And for 5 years I went to this church, and this church taught me that Jesus died for my sins, that Jesus wanted me to spend eternity with me, that Jesus loved me. And all I needed to do was give him my life, my sinful, rebellious life, and he would give me his life, his full, abundant life. But for 5 years, I actively said no. The last two of those years really actively said no. You see, I saw young men and young women who said that they had given their life to Jesus Christ, but I didn't see a lot of change in their life. Now, I will confess to you, that was judgmental. That's where I was at that point in my life. But I wanted to say yes to Jesus. If I did it, I wanted to be all in. I didn't want to pretend. I didn't want to play. January 12th, 1980, I went to bed just like every other night of my life. But that night, God showed up in my room. I can't explain it to you any more than I can describe the reality of falling in love. I didn't see him with my eyes. I didn't have a vision or a dream. I didn't hear the audible voice of God. But I know that I know that I know that he was in my room. And he invited me to be forgiven and to be made new. And then for an amount of time, I don't know how long it was, he had me count the cost. Like, I knew if I became a Jesus follower that my view of sexuality would have to become his view of sexuality, that my joy wouldn't be found in sexual escapades with whoever, wherever, however, as the pornography had taught me. I knew that the decisions about where my life was going would have to be his decisions, that I would be following him, so that it might be that he would lead me to something where I wasn't going to be rich, because I was determined I was going to be rich. I was going to go out, I was going to make a lot of money, because there was a lot of worry and a lot of fear in my house growing up, and it all seemed to do with the fact that we didn't have a lot of money. And it felt like every obstacle my little brain had come up with for all these 5 years of hearing about Jesus, all these reasons that I wasn't going to be his follower, God brought them to me one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, and then he would just tell me, I'm worth it. Whatever price you have to pay, whatever you have to deal with, I am worth it. I didn't feel pushed or prodded. I felt invited. But make no mistake, it was invitation without compromise. He was God and I was not. And he was very clear, I was to worship him, to follow him and obey him. I would become his. And that night, January 12th, 1980, in a nondescript house in a nondescript town of the Texas Panhandle, I bowed my knee beside my bed and I told Jesus I'd be his follower. And the next night, I went to the church, January 13th, 1980, and that church that had loved me for 5 years, I told them I had said yes to follow Jesus by being baptized. And the next day, I went to school, Pampa Middle School. And for those of you who are astute, yes, the letters of our school spell PMS. Every opponent we ever played pointed that out the whole time I was there. I don't know who named it. They should have been fired. I expected a radical change in my life the next day, but I didn't feel that. So much so that I began to doubt if what I'd gone through was real. But then I discovered that I had an affection for Jesus that seemed to be growing each and every day. And I had a sensitivity to his ways. And he kept me from so much that I now know in people's life causes so much pain, so much destruction. Now, I'm not to say I haven't had my struggles in the years. I have plenty, still have plenty. But those struggles seemingly get less intense, and I have hope in the midst of my struggle because I've seen victories in so many areas of my life. See, I have found acceptance and love that's not contingent upon my behavior. I have security, not just for next week, not just for next year, but for all of eternity. I know that my life matters, that I was born with a purpose. I was born on purpose and with a purpose. I know I'm no accident. Despite what common philosophy of the day says, I wasn't put here because of a statistical improbability created by evolution or something like that. I was placed here on purpose at this time on planet Earth because of the purposes of God Almighty. I know who I am. I am a child of the King of the universe, adopted and chosen by him. And I understand that that story may not sound so dramatic to you. Not like a Randy story with so many obstacles and so many hurdles to overcome. I know it doesn't sound that grand or that great. I was a 13-year-old boy. Most people called a good kid. Most would have said he had already given his life to Jesus because of what they saw, who had never really done a lot in his life, never created this great story. And you say, David, that's not that impressive to you. But I'll be really honest with you. I don't give a rat's hind end if it sounds impressive to you or not. I was lost, but I became found. I was outside and apart from God, destined for hell, and I became a child of the God Almighty, chosen and adopted by Him. And my story may not sound as dramatic in your eyes, but the transformation was just as dramatic as Randy's story. That's my story. What's yours? Please don't mishear me thinking this is no big deal. Your story matters more than you think. The book of Revelation say they, speaking of followers of Jesus, overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink back from death. I mean, come on. If I ask you today, how many of you want to overcome in life? We go, yeah. We're in church. We want to overcome. See, at the end of this thing we call life, every one of us wants to have victory in some form or fashion. That is, by the way, why we love the story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament. Because we feel like life is a Goliath, that it's this giant that I don't know if I can overcome. And when we see David by the power of God overcoming this great warrior, it gives me hope that I can be victorious over the giants of my life. Quick side note, next week, we're beginning a journey called Five Stones, Conquering Your Giants in Life. Some of you are saying, why five stones? You got to come back next week. But things like fear and addiction, anger, rejection, comfort, already giants that were keeping us from life have heightened during COVID-19. And we are going to see, by the power of Jesus Christ, the ability to overcome them. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So I want to encourage you, if you're at our North Campus, I want you to be a part. South Campus, I want you to be a part. We have a lot of people who are online all over. We want you to participate. Four things over 6 weeks. That's all I'm asking for. One, attend every service. Come physically if that's what you're doing every week. Attend online every week. Catch it on demand. Do a combo, but I want you there every week. Number two, I want you in a group. We need each other. We journey. You look at the things that God has done in my life over the course of my 35 plus years now of following Jesus, and almost every one of them are associated with other people. Most of them I was in group with. I've seen God do tremendous things in my life. I want you to experience that as well. We want you to be part of a group. We have virtual groups. We have combo groups. That means some people are going to be physical. Some people are going to be online together. We have some that are physical. You say, I'm not in a group. What do I do? Go to our website, beltway.org. It just says on the front page, join a Five Stone group. Click it, fill out the information. Or better yet, you got a friend that goes to our church that's in a group, go to their group. Say, well, I don't know if I'm invited. You're invited now. I just invited you to their group. Every group you can attend, you can be a part of. We want you there. Number three, I want you, this is radical, I want you to read a book. Some of you think, I don't have time to read a book. Yes, you do. Give up a little social media. Give up a little TV. I want you to be part of a book. Over 42 days, we're going to read this book, Goliath Must Fall by Louis Giglio. Some of you are saying that looks pretty thick. It's big words inside, big spacing. There's actually a few pictures in here. You will be in good shape, okay? I want you to grab one. We have them available at our physical locations. You can get one on the way out. I just want you to grab books. If you can't afford them, grab a book anyway. If you can't afford them and you want to, $10, maybe you want to give extra for somebody else, and we will make sure everybody gets one. I want you to be a part of doing this. If you're not, if you're online, let us know. We'll ship one to you. We'll get one to you. Or you can use this thing. I bet y'all haven't heard of this. You ready? It's called Amazon. Yeah, I know how you know how to use Amazon because I'm watching their stock prices right now. Go to Amazon. They have the book there. It's $1 more at Amazon, okay? So grab one of those and get to it there. There's a reading guide we can get to you. It's all online. And number four, I want you to invite somebody to join you. Invite them to jump in online if they're not willing to come physically. Invite them to your group. Invite them to be a part. Hear me. Goliath must fall in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. They, we, somebody say we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. See, victory is our destiny in Jesus Christ. This is something we grow in. It doesn't just happen passively. We fight, we battle. And one of the weapons of our battle, one of the tools that we use, is not having a testimony in our life. If you're in Jesus, you have a testimony. One of the weapons is the word of our testimony. It is sharing our story. As we speak, as we share our story, it empowers God to do a work in our life. And many of us, I'm afraid, are living in less victory than we should have in our lives because we are rarely, if ever, sharing the story of what Jesus has done in us. The 67th Psalm starts, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." Now, if you've been around Beltway Park at all, you're going, hey, that's how we end the service every week. We like hold our hands out, we say this prayer, and he throws out some weird words. I don't know what they are. They actually mean in Jesus' name, amen. That's what, well, it's more than that, but I'll explain to you what it means. All this kind of stuff we do. Isn't it interesting? Every person wants to be blessed, amen? And the foundation of all blessings is his face shining upon us. It's an ancient way of saying we know him. And the more we know him, the more we know his reality, the more blessed we are. And the psalmist wants to make sure we get it because he uses this word, Selah. That's a sweet little girl's name we throw around today, isn't it? Some of you say, I'm gonna name my little girl that. That's awesome, it's a great name. But in the ancient language, it wasn't just the name of a little girl. It was actually a statement to say pause and reflect. Read this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Take a deep breath. Meditate. Think. That the greatest thing I need in life is to know God more and more. I need the blessing of God. And then we are given a reason we need it so much. That. It's a word of cause and effect that if this happens, I'm blessed. It causes your way to be known on earth. Your saving power among the nations. What a prayer. God bless us and keep us. Be gracious to us. Make your face shine upon us. That your ways may be known on the earth. Your salvation among the peoples of the earth. It's in other words, praying, bless me that those in my world may find their way back to you. I mean, come on, bless me. How many of you want to be blessed in life? Hands up right now. And the rest of you just on hand raisers in church, because I know you want to be blessed. It is a universal desire to want to be blessed. Talk to anybody in your world. Anybody, doesn't matter their faith journey, and ask them, if God exists, would you want God to bless you? And they go, yeah. Now we have different definitions of that, but we all want to be blessed because it's the way God designed us. In the beginning, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he made mankind. Male and female, he created them. So let this sink in. Adam and Eve are born, made in the image of God, unlike anything else in all of creation, and God plops them in Eden, the Garden of Eden. Perfection, everything we long for. There's no sin, there's no struggle, there's no sickness, there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no COVID-19, there's no concern about economic realities in the days to come. Adam and Eve worked in the garden, but they never said, thank God it's Friday. Because all their work was satisfying and it was fulfilling. Adam and Eve, hear it. Adam and Eve had it all. Yet listen to the next verse. And God blessed them. Adam and Eve lived in the essence of what we would consider the greatest of blessing. Yet God kept doing what? He kept giving them more. That's the nature of God. That, by the way, is one of the reasons you're not going to get tired in heaven. Because you think, I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to get everything, and it's going to get old. No, you're not, because you're going to be in heaven, and guess what? And God bless them. And then when the next 10 minutes come, guess what? And God bless them. You're going to say, he's going to run out. No, he's not, because he has no end. There is no beginning and no end in God. There will be plenty of blessing. This is God's default. God wants to be one who blesses. But hear me. God always blesses with purpose. His blessings have responsibility tied to them. Even in the Garden of Eden, God created man in his own image, his likeness, he made them, and God blessed them. And then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. In other words, Adam, Eve, humanity, I designed you not just to consume the blessings I have, but I designed you to take the blessings that I give you and use them for the good of your world. And when we, his people, open our hands and say, God, bless us, we are, by the very nature of those saying, God, we want to use those for your blessing. We want to make our world a better place. Come on. We live in a world that's far, far different than Adam and Eve lived in, do we not? Anybody feel like we're in the Garden of Eden right now? We live in the wealthiest nation in the history of humanity. No one debates that. America, right now, today, wealthiest nation in the history of humanity, more money spread among the masses than any people group in the history of mankind. Anybody felt like that made us Garden of Eden yet? 50 years ago, if you had told people the amount of money we were making, the kind of things we could have, the kind of luxuries we would have, and you asked them, will we have arrived at a nation? They would have gone, absolutely. And we don't feel arrived at all, do we not? We're divided, we're angry, we're frustrated, we're anxious. You know what we are? We have giants like fear and anger and addiction that are ravaging us. They were doing it before COVID-19. We, among all people, need the blessings of God in our lives, and we need to use those blessings. One of the most beloved scriptures in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Boom, we usually put a period right there, by the way. That's what's on our coffee mug. Or we have our wall hanging and we just put dot, 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 because we don't read the rest of it, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. It's a heavy word, isn't it? But no, they'll have eternal life. And just in case you think Jesus threw in a word that he didn't mean, he goes on, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Perish. Condemned. That's our world right now. Without Jesus, I am lost. Destined to perish, destined to stand condemned, paying forever the penalty of my sin. And without Jesus, our world, hear me, the people in your world, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members, the people we work out at the gym with, it matters not. We stand condemned, lost. But the greatest act of love humanity will ever see was the reality that God made a way for us to find our way back to him through his son, Jesus. He made it so we could have everything he designed us to have from the beginning. He rescued us from the reality of hell. The greatest act of love is Jesus was sent. And the greatest way we can love someone, the greatest way that we can show someone we truly care, it matters not, is to help them find their way back to God through Jesus Christ. Not hope that they find their way, but help them find that way. And I know right now you're saying, David, that feels weighty. I get it. You want to know why that is? Your life was designed to carry weight. Your life was designed to matter. You are not a statistical improbability designed to survive and exist only. God placed you where you are right now with a purpose. I don't know where you work, but you're not there by accident. I don't know how you ended up in Abilene. Most of you say it was an accident. I didn't want to come here. I get it. You're not here by accident. Scripture says, Acts 17, God has ordained the time, places, and dates for mankind to live. You are ordained for where you are. And the reason for your ordination is so that you can join God in what he is doing. You are at your workplace. You are living in your neighborhood. I don't care how you came about them. You have the friends you're going to, the gyms you're on. You're around these people so that we can show the greatest act of love ever. He said, David, we don't want to push people into knowing him. Absolutely, we don't want to push or prod, but we can love them and we can help them have a chance. That's all we're talking about. We don't make anybody get saved. We don't make anybody find their way back to God. We just say we're here to help if you want that. See, we can be like Jesus, who left heaven, came to the earth to bless people and help them find their way back to the Father through him. We can do what Jesus did with our lives. That's who we are. We can bless. Somebody say bless. Remember what it means. It means we begin with prayer. We have people in our lives that we're regularly praying for that need help finding their way back to God. We can listen with care. We can actually seek to understand someone. I'm going to get radical with you. Whatever political party you're a part of, let's suppose for a second there's somebody else in the other political party. And you're having a conversation, instead of responding and getting angry, why don't you seek to understand where they're coming from? And a part of us saying, I don't want to understand. Exactly. That's the problem with our nation, is no one cares to understand the other person. No one loves enough. You say, David, what if I don't agree with them? You may not. It's not about agreeing, it's about the person. It's about listening with care that shows that you love. Say, David, I don't even know where I'd have a chance to have the conversation. Have a meal with them. Invite them to lunch if you're a coworker. Invite, have a cup of coffee, do something. That's what Jesus did. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. As you do these things, you know what's going to happen? God's going to give you an opportunity to serve that person you want to bless. Here's what I've discovered. The opportunity to serve with love can't happen on a schedule. I'm all ready to serve all the time as long as it can happen on Thursdays from 3 to 4 p.m. Because that's the hour I have available. God, I want to serve so-and-so, and I want to show them your love. Can you make it happen between Thursdays between 3 and 4? That's where I can fit you. It's almost as if God's demanding a measure of flexibility from us as people. And we pray, and we listen, and we eat, and then we find out, hey, I can do something with service. And you know what God does with service? Don't miss this. He does great things. Jesus was once before a crowd of 5,000 men, which means women and children, probably 15,000. They needed to eat, and no one had anything. And a little boy comes up with a sack lunch, literally. Says, I have a couple loaves of bread and a few fish, but what are these among so many? And Jesus said, watch. And he reached into the sack and he took the bread and he gave thanks. He broke it just like he did his body. And he just kept pulling and kept pulling. I bet he did it 15,000 times just to show his point. And the disciples are going, is it ever going to end? And the answer is, nah, because he has no end. And he had just enough. And then he did some extra, by the way, just to make sure everybody had plenty. Everybody ate their fill, which means they gorged themselves. It was like a trip to the Golden Corral, baby. I mean, they went after it. And he took a small thing and he made great things out of it. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. So we are great when we serve, but then when we serve, God does great things. It's an interesting thing. Through service, God will do great things with my life. And I'm telling you, nothing can be greater than to help people find their way back to him. Notice, we begin with prayer, we listen with care, we eat together, we serve with love, and then we share your story. What's your story? If you're in Jesus, you have one. Your story is simple. I'll tell you how to write it. What was my life like before Jesus? How did I meet Jesus? What is my life like after Jesus? And I know some of you thinking right now, you're thinking my story isn't that grand and great because like Randy had this great story, man. He had all these obstacles he's overcoming. He had this addiction. He had these problems. And I know there's a whole lot more to that. Not me. I grew up in church. My parents loved Jesus. They led me in a prayer when I was 3 years old. I was baptized when I was 4. Never did a lot that people consider bad because I always had Jesus in my life. A story like mine. But truth is, hear me. Lost is lost. Apart from God is apart from God. It doesn't matter if you're 50 and been in church all your life like Randy but never received Jesus, or if you're 5 and you're apart from God. Apart from God is apart from God, and found is found. And I'm telling you this, even if there wasn't a lot of before Jesus, I bet you know yourself well enough by now, just the struggles you've had since Jesus, that if you hadn't met Jesus, what would have happened to your life? I know what would have happened to my life. And I can just imagine the pain that I would have experienced and the pain I would have caused. And all of it did not happen because of Jesus. I'm proud of my story. I prayed that my kids had this testimony, that as early as they can remember, they would know that Jesus loved them, that they said yes to the love of Jesus, and every day they lived, they grew in the knowledge of the love of Jesus. That's the story I want for my kids. I have three grandkids I'm praying for right now. I pray that every day they know Jesus loves them, and they say yes to him, and they grow in the knowledge of that love each and every day of their life, and they fulfill the purpose he has for them on planet Earth, and they don't have to go through all the garbage and all the pain and all the struggle that sin brings into their life. That's the story I want for them. I mean, come on. If you have kids, what story do you want them to have? Do you want them to have a story like mine or a story like Randy's? Nobody who's walked Randy's journey wants their kids to walk the same journey. They want their kids to know Jesus early and to live a life of blessing for the entirety of their lives. And the people that are in your world, hear me, they want that for their kids too. They just don't know it. And maybe they are the one that starts at age 40, comes back to God, and they help their kids have a life that they didn't have to have because we were there to help them, because we were willing to share our story of what God has done in our lives. Don't fall prey to the idea that my story is insignificant. The scripture says we overcome. Somebody say overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we help others to overcome by connecting them to the blood of the Lamb through the word, through the spoken word of our story. Bless. What would happen to our region? What would happen to our city if we began to do just that? I mean, come on. I am asking us to develop a new habit. I'm there. I'm trying. I'm going to tell you straight up, this is not natural for me. I have my prayer card. You can get one going out at our physical services. It's my reminder in my truck to do it. And I have people I'm praying for, and I pray for them. I have a place where I get to meet up with them, and I call their name out to God. I haven't had a chance to eat with anybody yet or have a cup of coffee. But I've had a chance to listen. The first opportunity I had to listen was the most inopportune time. I was late for a meeting. I hate being late. And I knew, as soon as the person started talking, I knew God was giving me a chance. And I had a decision to make. Would I flex a little bit for the opportunity I've been praying for? And by his grace, I flexed. That flex took me 5 minutes. That's it. I was late for my meeting. But you know what? I sent a text to him, said I'm going to be late. And then I told him the story of why I was late. And they seemed to be okay with it. And the most significant thing I did that day was listen to somebody I'd been praying for. And I'm hoping it's taken a journey to help them find their way back to God. That's just what I'm asking us to do. All of us. Maybe you want to take the phone background we created from the website, put it as your phone background, just to remind you every day to pray. Let us ask God for the ability to bless and help the people find their way back to him. Amen? Let's stand, both campuses right now, even if you're online, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to say a prayer together. I'm going to put it on the screen, and I want you to say it, but I want you to just say it. I want you to pray it, okay? This is our prayer for us. You ready? May God be gracious to us. Come on, do it with me. Ready? May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Bless me that those in my world may find their way back to you. Use me to bless others. We ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Now take a posture of prayer right now for just a second. We're not finished, both campuses. I want you to pray for the people who are in your world real quick. The prayer you just prayed, I just want you to name a few names. Do it in your head, whisper them. First names. You say, David, I don't have anybody yet. Then ask God to show you some people right now. There's people. And if you're having trouble finding people, I would ask God to say, God, help me find some people. I need them. I need to be used of you in this way. And I felt like for this weekend, I felt like there's going to be people whose story of meeting Jesus goes to today. I believe there's people who need to meet Jesus today, meaning you need to say yes to be his follower. Maybe you've been in church all your life, like Randy. Maybe you've been like me and been around for 5 years, it matters not, but you've never said yes to be a follower of Jesus. And your story could go back to today. See, everybody's story is going to be unique, but you need to meet with Jesus. And today he's giving you an opportunity to give your life to him. He's going to take your sinful, rebellious, full of pain, full of destruction kind of life, and he's going to give you his life, one that's growing in abundance, one that's growing in victory, one that's growing in life. That's the offer, but you got to go all in. And he's inviting you to go all in. And I just felt like we're going to ask people to do that. And every service we've done so far, we've had numerous people say yes to Jesus. And I want to invite you to do the day, that you will go back to this day. I want you to remember this day. What's the date? Is it September 5th? 6th? Whatever. I'm getting all flexible on my time. Your date will go back to September 6th. Right in the middle of COVID-19, you met Jesus Christ. And you'll have a story. Because I promise you, he'll bring abundance to your life. If you've never said yes to following Jesus, here's what I want you to do. Online, wherever you are right now, North Campus, if you need to say yes to Jesus in just a moment, I'm just going to count to three. When I count to three, without hesitation, I want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to raise your hand if you're half-hearted. But if you're willing to go all in and say, Jesus, I want to be yours. I want to know you. Then I want you to raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. If you want to raise Jesus, put your hand up right now. Come on, put them up. All over. I'm seeing. I'm turning. Come on. Come on. I'm seeing it. Keep them up high. Become a follower of Jesus. But come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Somebody needs to give a shout and a praise. Come on, man. I know you couldn't see, but I saw dozens at the South Campus. By faith at the North Campus, I saw you as well. Here's what I want you to do, both campuses. If you raise your hand, I need you to do me a favor. We'd usually have you come pray with somebody. We're trying to watch things with COVID-19. There's a black card in the chair back. It says guest. Don't worry about guest. Put your name and put your phone number on that card. That's all I need. Drop it in the guest services on the way out. If you're online, you let us know via the online mechanism that you made that decision. All we're going to do is call you and talk about a way you can take your next steps with Jesus. I need you to do that right now. So people, if you raise your hand, grab that card right now. On the way out, drop it at both campuses, okay? That is awesome. Let me pray for us right now and we'll finish. I just want to say thank you for these lives. Jesus, thank you for the new lives that are found in you. Thank you that people's stories were written today. I declare over these men and women, since they are now in you, they are new creations. The old has gone. Behold it, the new has come. We celebrate those new lives. And now I'm asking for grace that they would stay with you all the days of their lives and their victory would grow day by day by day. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we go, let me tell you what we're going to do. Our prayer partners are going to be on the phone. If you need prayer for anything, give a call to this number right here. You can just find you a private place, give a call. We've had some tremendous things happen on the phone. If you're watching online or on demand, we have a text number, and one of our pastors will give you a call as soon as we can. We pray for some specifics. Let me tell you some specific things we feel like the Lord really wanted to work in today. Someone is wanting to live in righteousness but feels they are falling short. That means every one of us needs to make a phone call right now. Probably somebody has said something like that, that I've fallen way short of what God has for me. Someone is fighting for victory but is worn out. You're wanting to quit. I really feel like if you're online, there's a lot of quitting that's being tempted right now. I don't think it's exclusive to that. I don't think it's because of online. I just know the battle. So I want you to pray, call in and pray. Someone is stuck between two decisions and you feel paralyzed in making those decisions. We want to pray there. Someone is holding on to a personal secret out of fear, but the Lord is inviting you to bring it to light so you can bring have freedom. It doesn't mean you're going to tell everybody, but you're going to probably bring something to light that brings real freedom. We feel like there could be healing for those struggle with hernias or ruptured spinal disc in the back. So I guess that's the only place you have spinal disc is in the back. So yes, right there. So let's put our hands out in front of us and let's ask for his blessing. May you bless us, O God, and keep us. Make your face shine upon us and be gracious to us. Turn your countenance towards us and let us have peace, that your ways may be known on the earth. Because of the way we use the blessings you give us, may the nations of the earth know you. May the people in our world know you. We ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, which means in the name of Jesus the Messiah, Prince of Peace. And the people of God said, amen. God's strength and courage be with you. Next week, Goliath must fall. You want to be here. God bless.